Good?
Amen.
That's still true. Amen. After all this time, it's still good. Never goes bad.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No expiration date on it. I said there's no expiration date on the word. We don't get less than they got in the Bible. We have a new covenant established upon better promises. A better covenant, better promises. Hallelujah. So if they get something, we get that and more. Praise God. And guess what they got? They got healing. They got abundance. They got long life. They got protection. They got favor. Hallelujah. That's just, they got miracles, signs, and wonders. Praise God. So we don't get less. But go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 23. Now, you remember how to find 1 Thessalonians. General Electric Power Company, 1 Thessalonians. Galatians, right? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then 1 Thessalonians. Okay. Say, that seems so juvenile. Well, I'll tell you what. You ever heard of sword drills? General Electric Power Company helps you to really be good in sword drills. How many of you still are wondering what letter comes after what in the alphabet? I mean, I'm still doing that, right? Try to figure that out. So anyways, praise God. Father, help us tonight. We need help. We need you. We need utterance. We need boldness. We need help tonight from heaven. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to receive help. This series is life-changing. The things that we're receiving, if we'll avail ourselves to them, if we will cooperate and be strategic and skillful with the word, can't help but change our lives going forward. So, Father, we look forward to the word tonight. We're hungry. That's why we're here on a midweek service after working, after doing things, having things to do when we go home. Here we are. So, Father, do what you said you would do, which is satisfy us, which is fill us. We thank you for it now. We rejoice in it. We expect it to happen. Bullseyes will be hit in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, well, this is help of the Holy Ghost. And when you're on part 6, it's hard to do a whole lot of review, you know. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, the very God of peace, look at that. It says, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at in this series that we're a three-part being, right? We are a spirit. That's who we, the real us is, that will live forever. And but also that spirit is housed in a body, which is made up of carnality and emotions and feelings. And we also have a soul, which is that mind of a person, right? And so we saw those things and we've seen that in this series, there's only one thing that we want to give attention to, right? There's when we got born again, the spirit man on the inside of us was reborn, recreated. The mind and the body needed help, right? Needed to be wrestled, needed to be wrangled, still need to be wrestled. Anybody found out your body still needs to be wrestled? Anybody found out your mind still needs to be wrangled? Amen. And so, but your spirit is ready, willing, and able, excited about the things of God. And we're trying to learn in this series how to be more spirit conscious. That's what the last thing we looked at was to get more spirit conscious, to be more aware of our spirit. Why? Well, Romans 8 and verse 14 and verse 16 tell us why. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, God tells us this. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we've looked at this series that the Bible says that when we are born again, the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us. Isn't that amazing? We're walking around with God in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. People say, you're full of it, Pastor Mike. Yes, I am. If it is God. If it is God, I am full of Him. Hallelujah. And so we're walking around with God on the inside of us. Well, it says to be led by the Spirit. Well, how does that work? Verse 16 tells us, the Spirit should say Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so what's happening on the inside in the spirit realm, if you could see it in the spirit realm, you would see your spirit, you'd see the Holy Spirit, and you'd see the Holy Spirit communicating to our spirit to what? Then enlighten us on the plans, the purposes, the will of God, the answers that we don't know. Amen? And remember what Proverbs 20 said in verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What's he saying? How I'm going to lead you and guide you is by your spirit. How? By telling the Holy Ghost testifies to your spirit, and then hopefully we obey, we hear, we obey, we do what it's prompting us to do, what the Spirit's prompting us to do, and then we walk into all that God has for us. Amen. And so the point that you need to understand is the way that God, now remember, what is God? God is our help. God is the seer, the knower. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows the purposes for your life. He knows the plans for your life. He knows every door to open. He knows every place to deter you from, to make a detour on. He is everything. He is our answer. But the Bible says that God is a spirit. And he's giving answers, he's giving his help, he's giving his revelation in a certain place, right? He's not doing it into our minds, he's not doing it into our bodies, he's giving our answers in the spirit realm in a spirit way, right? From the Holy Ghost to our spirits. And the problem with that, remember I talked about my fingers and on the guitar strings. And if you were to look at my left hand, the fingers on my left hand, they're much different than the fingertips on my right hand. My ones on my right hand are the way God intended them to be, which is soft and smooth. But my ones on my left hand, they are hard. They are calloused over. They are gross. Why, when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, does one side of my neck feel yucky? And the other side just feels so nice. Or when he lays hands on me and grabs my hand, the one hand, what in the world's going on there? It's the calluses. It's the calluses. They're there. There's indentations in my fingers right now. And eventually, it's kind of like when you get out of the bathtub, you know? Did you ever see the kid that got out of the bathtub, America's Funniest Home Videos? And they were full of wrinkles. And they were crying and crying because they had just instantly aged to be 100 years old. And so that's what happens here with this. But what happens, the way it's supposed to be, smooth, you know, no blemishes there, no hardness there, because attention and time was given to these fingers, it builds up over what's normally supposed to be there. Well, it's the same thing with our spirits. God is giving out answers. All our answers are found in that realm. All the things we need to know, all the things we need to get to where we need to go. But what happens? We are so busy and in the natural realm. We give so much time. See, the more time and attention, like if I'll take time off, these will start to heal up and then I go to play again. And boy, it really, really hurts the fingers at first. Now I don't even feel it, you know, playing every week, a few times a week. But that's the way it happens. We give time and attention to the mental arena, time and attention to the natural, the carnal arena. And what happens is there's a callousness that is formed, that is built up over top of our spirits. And then what happens is, just like this, you're not sensitive anymore. These fingers are so much less sensitive to touch than these ones are. I can sense things better with these. Why? There's not that callousness. And so here we need to hear from heaven. But our spirits are so callous because we've been building up this wall of being so loud in the natural. And so we're trying to get to how can we actually hear from God. And so I want to help us with that. Amen? John 16 and verse 13, if you would. John 16 and verse 13. Look what the Bible says here about the Holy Ghost. How be it he, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. How many of you know he's come? Yes. Look at this. He will. He wills it. What's that mean? That's what he's doing. He will guide you into all truth. Now, remember what that all truth is. It's, first of all, what is the epitome of truth? It's the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will guide you into the truth that you need, and also the truth not only that you need from the Word, the direction, but how to get into the things that the Word or the truth has said you can have. But what else is truth? Truth is the plans and purposes that He has for each and every one of you. That's God's will. God is only truth. That's God's truth. That God's will is God's truth. And so when it says He will guide you in all truth, He will also lead you individually into the places, into the things that you need for your own life. Amen? The divine connections, the jobs, the deals that you need, things with your kids and stuff. And so it says He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And notice this, and He will. There's another thing that He's willing to do or wanting to do or is doing, will show you things to come. How much advantage do you get by being shown things to come? Remember when Marty McFly found the sports book? And had a revelation. Oh, man. Remember, who was it that wanted to get a hold of him? What was the bad guy's name? Biff. Biff got a hold of that book, and boy, he made quite a life for himself, didn't he? Why? Because he got that sports book from it's so confusing, Back to the Future, you know? But anyways, he got a sports book, and he knew he was going back to a time where the events hadn't happened yet, and he had the winning teams. What an advantage it was to know things that are coming. Amen? Hallelujah. Know things that are coming. Praise God. You know, the Holy Ghost told me 1 year before I started a church here that South Dayton was the place. Now, let me tell you what an advantage that was. I would come here often and you know, either walk on the sidewalk or drive through and drive around, you know, and be looking for places to have church, but releasing my faith, confessing, and all the prayer that I was able to put forth on the place. It was such an advantage, amen, to get out in front of that. And so He says, I will show you things to come. So this is what I want you to see, is that the thing that's inside of you, the Holy Ghost, God, the resume of the Holy Ghost, and He's faithful at doing His job. Whether you are aware of it or not, He is ever guiding you, and He is ever showing you things to come. Now, whether or not you're receiving that guidance, hearing that guidance, living off that guidance, or actually experiencing the things that He's showing you to come, that's not up to Him. That's your part. But His part, and He's faithful, is to what? Guide and show you. So guess what the Holy Spirit's always doing? And you might think to yourself, or might say, if I've ever been shown anything of God, or if I've ever been led anything of God, I wouldn't know it. Or, you know, it's certainly far and few between that the Holy Ghost is leading me or showing me things to come. He all of a sudden didn't get unfaithful for your situation. He's always wanting and always showing, guiding and leading. It's just we are not in tuned to it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And so the answers are found in the Spirit. And I love what Pastor Nancy Dufresne said one time. This really helps me with knowing He's guiding and leading. See, the answers are always being given out in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm. Well, if we spend all our time in the natural realm, it's going to be hard to hear in that realm. She said this. She said, Father, she said, I know we don't go by feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. But there are times that I sense Your presence more. Because how many of you know, when God's presence is there, there is times that it spills over into the natural realm. And you sense that. You feel. I mean, there's been times hands have been laid on me, and I still believe by faith it works, but nothing really, I felt anything. And there's a times hands have been laid on me, I couldn't do anything but fall down or get knocked backwards, you know. And there's been, there's been times, have you ever had times of prayer where it was dry as can be? And then other times of prayer where it was heavy. You just could sense that. And she said, Lord, I don't understand. You know, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what we have to understand about God. He never changes. He never changes. Life might change, circumstances might change, but God never changes. And it's a lie from the pit of hell to tell you that God changes. No, He is who He says He is, and He's always going to be that. And she said, Father, I don't understand. There's times I sense Your presence more than others. What's the deal? I know we don't go by feelings, but there are times I can sense You. And the Holy Ghost told her, said, it's not to do anything with Him. How? He's never different. He never changes. But there are times that you, telling to her this answer, that you are more yielded to Me than other times. Amen. There are times people will say things to me, poor Courtney. And I'm like, wait, tell me that again? Oh, this is the fifth time that I have to tell you this. Well, why? First time she was telling me, I wasn't very yielded. Second time, wasn't very yielded. And then I'm thinking, I know she told me. Now, this is the fifth time, you know, not very yielded. I've never been there before. And then there's other times, tell me, it's the same thing as well. At times, I'll meet someone and, oh my gosh, I know they told me their name. And if I'm not on purpose yielding to making a point to get that information, they could tell me in 2 minutes later, I walk and say, what was their name? Well, it's the same with God. And God told Pastor Nancy, it's not me. It's you. Always remember this. It's never Him. It's never Him. I've had to give myself some talks at times. It's never Him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we're doing something wrong, but it always means He's never doing anything wrong. It always means He's never failing. It always means He's never missing the mark. Amen? And at times, let's face it, it is us. And I'll tell you, when it is us, when we're not yielded or in the right position, you know, I remember if you watch, you know, sports at times and stuff, you'll see times where they call it, like in football, a broken play, where the quarterback goes to hand it off and there's no running back there, and so then everything's confusing, and maybe the quarterback will just fall down on the ball, and it looks chaotic, it looks confusing. Well, why? What's the reason that didn't work? It didn't work because somebody wasn't in the right position, in the right place that they were supposed to be, right? And so it's important for us to position ourselves. We don't want a broken life. That's what broken plays, why broken plays and bad plays happen. Or if you ever see a quarterback, you know, you'll see them yelling at the receiver. And nine times, probably 9.9 times out of 10, the quarterback is always right. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, they have to learn everybody's play and where everybody's going to be on the field. And you have to be pretty darn intelligent to be able to know everybody and what everybody's doing on the field. And most of the time, the quarterbacks are right, and say the guy's going to run out and the receiver's supposed to cut in this way. And so the quarterback will throw it this way, but the receiver cut out that way. And so instead, it's either an incomplete pass or what? It's an interception. And that's negative. It goes against you. Well, why did that happen? Somebody wasn't in the right place. And God is ever throwing touchdown passes to us and throwing it right on the money and hitting the spot. Sometimes I'll play catch with Caleb and I'll just throw. You should see my spiral. It is a thing of beauty. I have one that's standing behind me. We should put it up there someday just for to just stroke my ego, you know, where it's from behind, shows me in slow motion, just throwing that ball, spiral coming off my hand, and I'll throw it so perfect almost every time, and it'll hit them right here, and it'll drop on the ground, and I'll say, sorry to hit you in the hands. Didn't mean to throw it perfect to you. And God is always delivering it to us so perfectly. But we're in the wrong place. We're out of position. And it's like that answer, that help goes just like that ball right to the ground, incomplete pass. Aren't you glad I am not God? Can you imagine how I would treat my kids? The sarcasm that would come out of heaven, the scriptures would have been written so differently. I preached at MTC, the Ministry Training Center, on Sunday night, and there's a verse, and I told the students, this verse really is basically God telling people, wake the heck up, church. Well, God doesn't write that because God's not Mike Anderson, but that's what I would have said. I would have said, Romans 8, whatever, wake the heck up, church. I gave you Jesus, I'll give you everything, but thank God I'm not God. Anyways, why don't I sense you? You're not yielded, amen? You know, I saw a promo. You know the game show, reality show Survivor? I saw a promo or commercial for it. I don't know if it was online or on TV, what it was. You know, they do challenges where they can get rewards. You know, it's a game where they go on an island for 30, 40 days or whatever, limited food, good, you know, challenges and stuff, and they vote each other off. Well, I saw a promo. They called them immunity challenges, that if your tribe wins, the different teams, they call them tribes, win, you don't have to go to what they call tribal council and be voted out. Well, there was a promo for one of the games where there were three teams, and one person was going to stand up on a platform, and they weren't blindfolded, and the teammates were all blindfolded, and they had to direct them through the course where there are obstacles there, things to bump into, things to run into, but things they also had to do and also had to grab and to complete this obstacle. And so the guy that or girl that stand on the platform, they're announcing this, hey, you need to run here, you need to go forward, you need to go to the right, and also you're attached to another person, which makes it more chaotic. And in this, the announcer I saw in the promo, he was talking about the pure chaos, because here you have three people on a platform shouting instructions to these people that are blindfolded and just hearing a voice. And then you got competitors. They're all talking in between. Oh, you're going the wrong. Oh, wait, slow down. And then you have obstacles and they're bumping into it. And what it's doing is it's drowning out the one and only voice they should be listening to. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the picture of the Christian life when it comes to the Holy Ghost. There is one from above shouting orders, shouting instructions. But there's so much in life that we're bumping into, running into, availing ourselves to, listening to other voices, listening to the voice of the flesh, listening to the voice of the mind, listening to the voice of money, listening to the voice of feelings, listening to the voice of convenience, listening to the voice of inconvenience. And all these things are yelling, and the announcer said, my gosh, this is chaos. And he's like, even I'm adding to it with me talking. And that's the way life is. Life does a lot of talking in various forms. And what's it do? It makes things chaotic. And the one voice that we need to hear is being drowned out. We wonder, where are we supposed to go? Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. What are we talking about? Positioning ourselves, hearing from God. The Holy Ghost is ever leading. The Holy Ghost is ever guiding. He's ever showing us things to come, but we're just missing it. We're missing it. You know, I saw that in that promo. Go left! And they would go right because they're hearing the other person say, go right. That's an example of the answer was given. But because of the way things were, it didn't matter that the answer was given. How many times has God attempted to get us our answers? But we're... Wait, what? Wait, who? It is true. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. What's that? Loud, outward, very appealing to the eyes, the senses, a great to-do. And broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. And what's an earthquake? Again, loud, big, moving things, things loud to the senses, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. Once again, to our senses, very visual, something to look at, something that's making noise, something that's making a scene, something that's very distracting. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came how God talks to us. The still, small voice. And guess what? It's still a small voice. The still, the calm, small voice. Now, there are ways of amplifying that voice. Amen? You know, we've used the example, we won't do it tonight, but we've used the example where if God is speaking to you in a certain level, know this, God doesn't speak, God is the God of clarity. God is not the God of confusion. God's not speaking to you so it's like some riddle that then you have to, like even some of these games on that show, they put in these puzzles together and God's not like, okay, now, no. He's the God of clarity. He's the God of peace. He's not speaking to you to confuse you, amen? And so if God is speaking in his normal, whatever voice and level that God is speaking at, it is adequate for the individual, right? God's not on purpose to try to keep it from you, no. Whatever voice he's speaking, because remember why? What did we talk about? It's never him. He's never the problem. The still small voice is not the issue. The still small voice is what? Perfection. Because who did it come from? Perfection. Amen? God doesn't yield to us. God doesn't conform to us. We yield to him and we conform to him. Amen? Amen? And so if God is speaking in his normal voice, and let's just say Pastor Mike is preaching here, and the voice that I'm speaking at, I want you to hear, I want you to receive, I want it to be adequate for you to hear what I'm saying. It's life-changing information. And if we had music in the background, and if we kept turning that music up, eventually it's going to get to where you're going to have a harder time hearing me if I don't change my level. And God's not changing his level for you. And it would get to a point where we could make the music so loud that if I were to talk at my normal level, it would just all be jumbled and garbled. And you wouldn't get the information. Well, what is that? That's the picture of the Christian life. God is speaking by the Holy Ghost in the still small voice. Well, what's the problem with that? We are not very still at times. And he is speaking that, and we are running the rat race. It is chaos in our lives all the time. We are sowing into the natural, sowing into the mental, always doing something, always giving attention to the natural man, senses, right? Our feelings, our emotions, our mind. And what's that doing? It's loud, it's building up this chaos, and God the whole time is saying in his normal voice, and we're not getting it, we're not picking it up. Stop looking for the writing on the wall. Stop looking for an angel to appear to you. I'm not saying you are, but a lot of people do, you know. Stop looking for the, I wish the minister would just speak over me. You don't need those things. You have been given what you need, right? You are anointed with the Holy One and you have no need that anyone should. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost can talk to you. Praise God. Now, I want to, in the remaining time we have here, we've established this, talk about positioning ourselves to hear from heaven. Well, the Bible says our author is who? Jesus. He's our example. Let's take a look at a couple places of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Now remember, God is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. Your spirit is a spirit. And your answers are given in the spiritual realm. So to expect to hear the answers you need from that realm and constantly just positioning yourselves or living or dwelling in the natural, in the mental arena, you are fooling yourself. At some point, you need to calm or turn down the natural. Turn down the ruckus, the chaos, the everything flying. Turn down the mental and just be still. Jesus is our example, isn't he? Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Look at this, Jesus, when it was time to hear from heaven. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Well, why was he doing that? It was the quietest time for him. Now, this isn't chapter and verse that now you have to rise up a great... No, that's not exactly what he means, but he's our example that I have to get away to get this. Rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a place of chaos, confusion, and much to do. No. He went when it was quiet to a place where he was alone. A solitary place, right? This is where Neil Diamond got the song Solitary Man. Do you know that song? Belinda was mine till the time that I found her. Don't know that I will, but until I can find me. Solitary man. Remember? Jesus was the solitary man. Amen? I need you to know something. I don't plan on singing these songs during service. But they come in my head. I think, you know what? That would work. Jesus was the ultimate solitary man. Neil said he wanted to be a solitary man. Jesus already beat him to the punch. Praise God. But he went into a solitary place and what? Prayed. What did he do? When he went to do something spiritual, to get spiritual help, he shut the natural down. He turned the volume down on the natural. Why? To make the spiritual louder. Amen? Go with me to Luke 5:16. And here it is again, Luke 5:16. And he withdrew himself. What's that? Taking a step away. And where did he go? Into the wilderness. What is he showing us again? And what did he do there when he was in the wilderness? And prayed. What's he saying? I'm trying to get answers from God. If Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, but remember, he laid aside his deity, if he had to shut the natural down, turn the volume down, and separate himself to hear from heaven, why do we think we can get it any other way? And in fact, he tells us to do so. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 6. Matthew 6 and verse 6. But when you pray, well, what is ultimately prayer? It's the communion, the fellowship. There's prayer of the asking, right? There's a transaction that can happen in prayer. Not always. Sometimes just you giving praise and worship to him and things and tension on him. But a lot of times prayer is what? Seeking God for the kingdom, praying for somebody, releasing your faith, needing answers, right? Call. I mean, he invited you to do it. Call unto me. And I'll answer you and show you, right? Ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. And here he says, but when you pray, look at this, enter into thy closet. Now again, is this doctrine that tells you the only time you pray you should be in your closet? No, because Jesus went to the wilderness, and I'm guessing he didn't store his clothes in the wilderness closet. I'm just guessing. But when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, what's it mean? What's it saying? Shut life out. Shut life out. When you pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. There's an example. When you're going to get your answers, when you need direction, when you need help from heaven, you got to hear from God. You don't want to go with what your mind's saying. You don't want to go with the opinion of man. You don't want to go with what money's telling you to do. You don't want to go with what emotions are telling you to do. You don't want to go with what feelings are telling you to do. So all those things need to be shut out. Get into the closet. Shut the door. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a big advocate of closing your eyes because what's it do? Shuts things out. And when you go into the closet, most people's closets, most people's don't have windows. They're really dark in there, right? Well, what's one of that telling you to do? Shut the door, shuts the world out. You're in the place of darkness, right? Maybe you have a light in there. But anyway, shutting things out to just hear from Him. Glory to God. Psalms 46 and verse 10. This is all part of following the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm convinced, honestly, and I know this for my own life, so I pick on myself too, but let's say there's a decision that has a yes or no answer. Well, even if you don't hear from God, you got a 50-50 shot that it's Him, at least. And I'm convinced that a lot of Christians, when they do get it right and they attribute it to God, it just happened to be the right? Yeah. Praise God. Psalms 46 and verse 10. Be still. Man, I'll tell you what, that is, for a lot of people, man, that is, I just cursed at you. Be still. I can't be still. Well, then you're gonna have a hard time hearing from God, because look what it says. Look what the result of being still is. What's the next two words? And know. What comes before the knowing? The still. Be still, and the result will be you'll know some things. Amen. And when it says know, and know that I am God, because when you're still, you're in His presence, He starts to reveal things to you and show you things that He promised you, and do what the Holy Ghost, or be made aware of what the Holy Ghost says to do. But notice that. Be still. And know that I am God. Now, I want to ask you, just to be honest, you don't have to shout out or raise your hand, but how often is this really a thing for the body of Christ? Decisions need to be made, right? Life, major life decisions, where to move, who to marry, what to do with my kids, where to send my kids, what jobs to take. Should I buy this house? Should I get this car? I don't know. It's pressing on my finances, but is it by faith? And just, you know, and so many times, what do? We just throw up our little five-minute prayer, and then we go with what our mind's telling us, or we go with what our flesh tells us, or we go with what general consensus is, and then what do? We put a stamp on it and say, God said. And there was never any stillness. There was never, you know, we're not really going to talk about this tonight much, but do you know how much is in here about waiting on God? God has been turned into a Taco Bell, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Burger King God, fast food God, but He hasn't changed. People have made Him in their mind to be that way. Well, I prayed 5 minutes before, and I know exactly what I'm supposed to do in that major life decision. Your flesh might be telling you that, your mind might be telling you that, but did you really hear from God? Because I'll tell you this, the mighty men and women of God that had big decisions and had big, you know, big answers and big things, that's not how they got it. It's not how the people in the Bible got it. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's times that we know, but there's also times, is this me? Is this God? Is this my flesh? Is this my mind? I want to tell you a story Brother Hagin told about a man in Texas who had a fifth grade education, but he was a millionaire. And many people testified about this man, and one of the amazing testimonies about this man was, in all the investments that he ever made, the man would testify and had proof of it, that he never lost a dime. What's he saying? In his finances, he never made a wrong move. And it led to him being a millionaire. Fifth grade education. You know, he's not versed on the stock market. He's not versed on mutual funds and whatever, you know, they had and things like that. But what he was versed on was waiting on God. And he would say, when somebody would present him with an opportunity for an investment, he didn't, in his mind, would instantly say something like, no, or yeah, you want to do that, never went with those things. No matter how good the opportunity seemed, no matter how, you do remember that the devil can bring you something, a package all pretty wrapped up in a bow, and on the inside that's a stick of dynamite ready to, amen, he can. And so he wouldn't even listen to what anybody was saying. He would go get alone with God, and he would wait on God. He'd present it before him, say, this investment. Now, when I say he wouldn't come out of his prayer closet so he have his answer, he even prefaced that in there that it's not that he didn't come out to eat. It's not that he didn't come out when he had to work and do things. But when there was a big decision on the line, there's times that you need to shut the natural out. Maybe, just maybe, your TV time gets cut out for a little bit for an answer. Maybe, just maybe, the hobbies that you have and the craziness of all the running around. Maybe, just maybe, there's some decisions that are worth turning it down. And he would get alone with God and he would wait on God and would not come out of that prayer closet, in that place of waiting on God, being in God's presence, shutting the world out, just being with you, Father, what do you think about this? In that place, just being quiet in that place, waiting, praying. And he said sometimes he would pray, sometimes he would praise, but a lot of times he was just waiting till what? He knew that he knew that he knew. And remember, we go back, how do we know? Peace. You just have that knowing. And he'd walk out and he'd make that investment and it always got him money. Well, is that available to everybody? It sure is. But how many times our flesh gets excited, our mind gets excited, we start doing the pros and cons, we start doing the yes and no list. Come on, we all do it. Well, or we start figuring out, well, this must be the case because this is the case. And we start filling in the pieces. You better find out what heaven is saying. You better find out what heaven is saying. How many people have made wrong decisions because it felt good? It's worked out money-wise, seemed good money-wise. Can't do that. You know, I was thinking back to when we started the Olean Church. That's a big decision, you know. When God dropped it in my spirit, I knew that I knew, and the prophet confirmed it, that I would start other works. And, you know, I'll be honest, from the get-go, there were certain towns that were on my heart. And the Olean area was always something that was on my heart, but because the distance, because I knew I wasn't supposed to hand this church over to anybody, I just knew that wasn't the case, that I'm to stay here. And so I couldn't figure out how I would get somewhere on a Sunday morning, because a Saturday night service never even entered my thought process. But there again, I'm just thinking, and I wasted I don't know how much time and gas money and energy driving from Jamestown to Gowanda and Jamestown to Randolph, because in my mind, you have church in South Dayton, okay, we can get to Randolph in 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we can get to Gowanda in 20, 25 minutes. That means, okay, we could have a 9 a.m. service somewhere and an 11 or 11:30, and that wouldn't be too bad. I'll just get back and forth, you know, and that's the way I was thinking. Why? Because that's just what seemed to make sense to my mind. And how many people just up and do things and make major decisions? Because it just up and feels good to their flesh. It just makes sense on paper. Or God's doing this, and so I'm going to connect the dot that he must be also doing this. Maybe he is, but maybe he's not. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm doing a Sunday morning service, so I just connected a dot that he must also be doing a Sunday morning service. No, that dot wasn't to be connected. He's doing a Saturday service in a town farther away. And thankfully, knowing how to hear from the Holy Ghost and going there, just had that scratchy, yucky. It wasn't like when I came to South Dayton after knowing. When I came here, I was like, I'm home. I am home. Praise God. This is the place that we're going to move heaven and earth. Praise God. That we're going to have. And it just was home. It didn't matter to me there was no building. It didn't matter to me it was small and country town. It didn't matter because it was right. And I'd go to Gowanda and Randolph and just never had that peace. Always that scratchiness. It's like, man, it's going to be awfully hard to start a church with that uncertainty, because one of the things Pastor Michael told me when I started this church, you better know that you know. And I knew, and I'm glad that I knew, because there were natural things that would like to tell me, you are crazy, You've messed up your life. You've messed up your family. This, this, and the other. But I had that knowing. Well, I was praying, taking time to find out God's next plan for my life. Told me about this church. Well, I'd go to Gowanda Randolph. Just never sat right with me until, and so I finally what? Got before God and said, okay, enough of me, enough of my thinking. What are you saying? And then what? Didn't go to another town, didn't go to another city, didn't come up with another thought in my head until I came out of that place knowing, Olean it is. The Olean area it is. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. We're almost done. I want to finish this up tonight. We've become so proficient in the natural realm and busyness and chaos and apathy towards spiritual things. This next part is not meant to condemn anybody. It's to just show you the dangers of what happens. Go with me to Luke 10:38 real quick. We fill up our lives with all these natural things, and God's not giving answers to the natural. I mean, let's be honest. How many of us would look back, not out of condemnation, because we forget those things, but you look back and you say, you know what? Sure wish I would have known what I know now and then actually did what I know to do now back then about this situation, about this decision, right? We all have ones we'd say, my goodness, God the whole time was really trying to say things, but I got caught up in my emotions. I got caught. Well, here's the good news. We have the rest of our life with decisions and things that God's going to try to move us into. We could start being proficient now. Amen. Luke 10:38. Look at this, just to kind of show you how people are. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered or troubled about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. So we have two sisters. We're in Martha's home. Martha's running around crazy. Why? There's a lot to do. I'm not up here to tell you that there's not a lot to do in your life. Part of it's we've made our life that way, let's be honest, but there's a lot to do in life. There's a lot of commitments that we've given ourselves to. We've stretched ourselves so thin. But I'm here to tell you, it's kind of like the people that stretch themselves so thin that they can't even come to church. God's not changing what he said about going to church because you are doing life wrong. And if God gives answers in the still place when we get quiet and can share everything out, if we really want to get with God, he's not going to change for you because your life is too busy. And you don't have time to seek him on these important things. That which is that important to you, you make time for it. Amen. You know how I know? Think of somebody that's about to have a life or death surgery. Now, before they're maybe made aware of what they're going through, someone might say to them, you know, or they might say, I don't have time to take off. I don't have time to slow down. I don't have time to do this and that. But when they find out that there is a life or death situation on the line, what do? They'll get the surgery done, take the time of the surgery done, and then with that surgery, they know there's a certain amount of time. Some surgeries, you can't do anything for a long, you're laid up. Well, it's like when something got so important, I guess the time was found. And some of these things are so life and death and so serious that we say, oh, I just don't have time for that. I just don't have time for that. No. If you didn't take the time to get the surgery and the time to recover and the time for the rehab and the time for the body to heal, you're going to be in a worse place. And so many people, because they didn't have the time, find themselves in a worse place. I just did what I thought to do. I didn't have time. Well, I don't have time to be sick, to be broke, to be in the wrong place in life. And by taking the time, I heard this from years ago from Pastor Michael, you can pay now and play later. Or you can play now and pay for it later. If you pay on the front end, you'll play on the back end. Amen. What's that mean? You take the time now to seek, get the answer, and then all that comes with that, with the answer and being God, is the play time, the blessing, the goodness. Or you can just continue to fill your life up and appease that carnal man and not take time and then make the wrong decision and then, oh, You're paying for it later. And he says, Jesus, my sister has left me to serve alone. What did Mary do? Mary decided to take time out, turn the volume down on life, and submit and yield herself in a spiritual position. Amen. She did. Why? Answers for your life are given in that place, the spiritual position. And look what Jesus said. Martha, Martha, don't worry. We'll make sure that you get this sermon after. We'll change things around for your life. We'll make a tweak for your life. Nope. He rebuked her. Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What's he saying? Mary chose the spiritual realm. And it's going to benefit her more than what you're doing. What's he saying? It's not my fault that you've made your life this way. I'm not stopping what I need to do. Just like the Holy Ghost is not stopping to wait to get it to you a different way than other people because you've decided you want to do it on your own program. That's not how it works. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 36. I'm almost done. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful, very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me. He just got done telling them, my soul is so exceedingly sorrowful to the point of death. Please, will you just stay up and be with me? Will you just watch here to be diligent, to be vigilant, and be here with me? And look what happened. And he went a little further and fell on his face praying and said, oh, Father, if it be possible, this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will. I love the humanity of Jesus. In one of his darkest moments, he said what? I don't want to be alone. I want encouragement. I want support. I want people that are with me on this. And in his darkest hour, look, verse 40, he cometh and finds his disciples and finds them asleep and says unto Peter, could you not watch with me just for 1 hour? You couldn't get out of that carnal, oh, I was tired, Jesus. Well, then do what the one minister did when he was tired and stood up on the edge of his bathtub to pray. Because if he knew, if I fall asleep now, it's going to cost me big time. Get up and go outside and walk around. You know, when I get tired, I went turkey hunting. And I go turkey hunting in Pennsylvania sometimes. If I don't spend the night out there, there's times I'm waking up at 2, 2:30 in the morning and I'm driving. And I've already fell asleep at the wheel once when I was a teenager and should have died. And so I'm given to that at times when I'm driving. Well, I can't afford to die. I can't afford to be killed by falling asleep at the wheel. And so you know what I do when I'm tired because I need to get to where I'm going and it's important? I don't just let it be or I'm just going to pull over and sleep. No, I will get out and slap myself silly and sprint up the country road. And that's what I do. And I take off running and get all worked up. Or I'll stop at the gas station and get sunflower seeds or bubble gum and make big bubbles and pop them. And I'm doing things. Why? To not give into that. But with prayer and things and busyness, well, I'm just so busy. Just whoop, you're drawn away. Or, oh, I'm just so tired. I just guess I got to sleep. But man, when we're tired, we still do some things naturally that we love to do. Oh, man, we go to work when we're tired. We go to our games and fun things, you know. He said, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Now look what he said. Watch. That means to be vigilant. And pray that you enter not into temptation. Now here it is. The spirit is indeed willing. What's your spirit saying? I want answers from God. I want a fellowship with God. I want to hear from heaven. I want to be in that position. I want to be there. Let's turn the natural down. That's what the spirit's saying. But the flesh is so weak and the flesh is saying, no, no, no. How many times you go to get ready to pray and all of a sudden how hungry you become and thoughts of everything you need to do and then all of a sudden you're just miraculously so tired. Why? Because the flesh is weak. and does not want you to get into that place. Praise God. And we'll close with Mark 4 and verse 18. Mark 4 and verse 18. What are we really talking about now? Things that distract you and keep you out of your position. See, well, I need an answer from heaven. Okay, you need an answer from heaven. What are you doing about that? What are you doing about that? And we're going to keep going in this series and learning how to draw out the answers. But to get the answers first, you got to be in the position. I need answers from heaven. What do you do? How bad do you need it? How bad do you want it? Well, I prayed for 20 minutes today, and okay, I'm just going to get out of there. Well, yeah, my mind says to do that. Flipping the coin. I'll tell you what, life and death stuff, I don't want to flip the coin. If I know there's an answer, I don't want to flip the coin. People flip the coin with their children. People flip the coin with their money. People flip the coin. Sometimes it's ignorance. Sometimes it's apathy. Mark 4:18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust, the craving of other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. What's he saying? Be careful of all the things in life, the distractions of this world, the distractions of the times that pull you out of your place of what? Your spiritual help. Amen. Hallelujah. I had years ago a rebuke from the Lord. Turkey season would come, and I'll tell you what, man, when June 1st hits, I am so relieved to see turkey season go. Because turkey season, to get up to hear the turkeys gobbling in the tree, to find out a location of where they're at, because that's when, a lot of times that's when the turkeys will do the most talking. Not all the time, but a lot of times it's in the morning. You get them located, but they'd start that gobbling when it's still dark and you can move in and get set up if you do it quiet enough and not kick them out of the tree if you don't get too close. And so you want to be out there early. So a lot of times I'm driving to a spot, and sometimes it's down in the Allegheny National Forest. It takes me an hour to get there. To get there, to be there, to walk in, another 30, 45 minutes, to then still be there an hour before it even gets light where they would fly out of the tree. So you can think of why I'm getting up at 2, 2:30 in the morning, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing it time after time after time after time. And up for my spirit one day, when is the last time you woke up at 2:30 in the morning just to spend time with me? You know what my answer was? Never. Tell the truth. Think of all the things that we are so good at giving ourselves to. When is the last time we've given him that same time and attention? Right? But yet, we need revelation. We need answers. We need our help. We're going to have to turn down the volume of the natural. Amen? So his voice gets magnified. Father, thank you for helping us tonight. You're good to us. You're merciful. You're not mad at any of us. You're not condemning any of us. When you even told me that about turkey hunting, you're just longing to spend time with me. Yeah, turkey hunting is good and it brings me blessings, but not like being in your presence can. Not like hearing from heaven can. Not like extracting answers from the Most High can bless me. So Father, as we're growing and learning, I pray that people would cooperate with this. And if they would walk into this in Jesus' name with heads bowed and eyes closed. I know everyone in here is born again. If you're watching by live stream tonight, you say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. It's easy to get there. Jesus said in John 3:16, if you believe on me, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. So the first step is believing in him. It's not belief with your head. It's not a belief with your flesh. It's in your heart. You can say, and you might not even be able to explain it, but in your heart you say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. The man was real. I believe it. He died and rose again. But then you have to call on his name, ask him into your life. He's a gentleman. He needs to be invited. And Romans 10:13 tells you how. You call on his name. So if you're watching, you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Jesus is how you get to heaven. Unless a man be born again, unless you go through him, you can't see the Father. And so if you're watching online and you say, you know what? I've never officially made Jesus my Lord. It's as simple as a prayer away. When this service is over, just get with him and just cry out to him and say, Jesus, I believe in you. and I ask you to come into my life. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my life as my Lord and Savior. And if you pray it, mean it, he will. There's an email on the website. There's a phone number on the website. Call me. Let me know you prayed that prayer. I want to help you with your next steps, but that's where it starts. He's so good. And if you say, Pastor, I don't understand this. I was taught different and I'm confused. Reach out to me. I'll help you. We'll go over what the Bible thinks, not what you think, not what you were taught thinks, not what I think, but what does God think? Let's just stand to our feet tonight and let's worship him. That's always a great way to start and always a great way to end. Just give him praise and thanksgiving. He's longing to tell you things. He's longing to show you things. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. We thank you for answers. You are the God of show and tell. You are not the God of hide and seek. You're the God of show and tell. You always are revealing, always showing us. Father, help us to be more proficient. Help us to be more skilled and more skillful and more strategic with these things. There's so many things at stake. And Father, we thank you. You're always speaking in clarity. You're not speaking in the smoke and in riddles. And you're clear. You're not the God of confusion. We worship you and we praise you and we magnify you. We love you. We bless you tonight. We honor you and give you praise and glory. I just want to wait on him and just wait on him. We worship you. We praise you. Just what are we doing? We're getting quiet and taking time in my spirit to make sure there's nothing more to do. I don't want to shut him down if there's something more. Anything else, Father, we worship you. We wait on you. Let's just wait before him in his presence. Let's just practice being still. I'm talking about not even saying anything, not even doing anything, just being still in his presence. Let's just go ahead and just wait on him. And then when I start to praise again, you can as well. You can look up here. Just imagine if you would get into this practice with questions you ask him. And Jesus, we worship you, Father. What direction? And endeavor not to make decisions till you know that you know. Amen. To do things. But Father, we just love you so much tonight. We're thrilled with you. We praise you tonight. We're just grateful to be in your presence. We glorify your name. We magnify your name. Praise your holy name. We love you so much. Glorify your name. Magnify your name. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you. 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 Thank 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 you. Yes, yes, yes. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Worship you and glorify you. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure do love all of you. Appreciate you. You are dismissed. We'll see you Sunday.